Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Welcome to episode 14 of This Week in the Hawks. My name is Graham, of course, and you knew that already. Hey, today is Saturday the 25th of March 2017. It is an absolutely beautiful day here. I am. It's been absolutely gorgeous. I hope it's nice wherever you at. It's definitely nicer for where the Hawks are at, because the Hawks are sucking ass, all the ass right now. 6-game losing streak for the Hawks, obviously not helped by the fact that Millsap and Bazemore have been away from the lineup for a little bit, which is very unfortunate, but these things happen this time of the year. Kind of everyone's injured, you can't really make too many excuses for yourself. This is where the Hawks are at. They have to learn to deal with it. And, you know, they have to say these last two games since we last spoke against the Wizards and the Bucks there last night have been two very decent performances, and we'll kind of get to that in a little bit. But kind of the big kind of takeaway from obviously just last night's game is the Bucks now have the same record as the Hawks. They are 37-35. They're now tied for fifth in the East. The Hawks holding the advantage of the tiebreaker just because Hawks took care of business. Three games these two teams played earlier in the season. Hawks won all three of them. Bucks get this game back. So tiebreaker does belong to Atlanta should these two sides finish with the same record. But we're going to take a quick look at the kind of how the schedule kind of looks for both these teams and the Indiana Pacers, who are just a game back of this little squabble for the fifth seed with a 36-36 record. The Hawks may thank the Denver Nuggets for beating the Pacers in Indiana last night. Maybe someone can send them a nice little card, a thank you card, if if the Hawks end up actually it really doesn't matter. But so let's look at the Hawks schedule. The Hawks schedule probably is the we'll debate if it's the easiest or not in a sec, but they have the Nets, so there's 10 games left. They have the Nets, the Suns, at Philly, at Chicago, Brooklyn again, Celtics, at Cleveland, then at home to Cleveland, the Hornets at home, and then the Pacers on the road to finish off the regular season. So some very decent games in there. The Nets twice obviously helps, both at home. The Suns at home, although you never know, Devin Booker might go for 70 again. Oh boy. Philly away, which is a complicated game considering how they've been playing of late. I think Dario Saric has been playing much better of late. Well, obviously he's been playing much better since Joel Embiid, not better, but just more since Joel Embiid has gone down. He's more of a focal point in the offense now that he's down. Celtics, never an easy game. The home and away to Cleveland is going to be tough, although it's quite, because it's quite further down the road. Like, we're talking a game 77 and 78. You might be in that phase where Cavs is just, you know, to be fair, they're in a scrap with the Celtics for the one seed, but you know, they probably don't care. So maybe they could be resting LeBron, could be resting Kyrie, could be resting Kevin Love, could be resting a whole bunch of guys. You never know. The Hornets are an interesting matchup as always, and then in Indiana on the final day of the regular season, that's going to be a tough game indeed, because you imagine both these teams will be slogging it out for playoff position, possibly against each other. So interesting schedule for the Hawks, not too bad. I think the worst of it, of this kind of run after the All-Star break, is definitely over. Looking at the Bucks, who seem to be the Hawks' biggest rivals for that five seed, they've won 11 of the last 13, I believe, unless I'm wrong. Their schedule is Chicago, at Charlotte, at Boston, Detroit, Dallas, at OKC, at Indiana, at Philly, Hornets, and at Boston. So some tough games in there. At Charlotte is never easy. Two road games against Boston, again, who are scrapping it out for the number one seed with Cleveland. That'll be huge for them. At OKC, that's a difficult game. Russell Westbrook, you know, Thunder, they'll still be jostling for playoff position. At Indiana, who, of course, we mentioned, they're also in a scrap for a playoff position. That's a tough game as well. The Bucks are probably the best team out of this bunch of three, it has to be said, based on if you want to go on current form. But those are some tough games. You would definitely look at, if you took their schedule and the Hawks' schedule, you would say that the Hawks have an easier schedule. There's no doubt about it. But you know, the Bucks have won a lot of good games recently. So this isn't to say that they can't get that job done, but the Hawks have an advantage in terms of the schedule. But of course, it's not that the game isn't played on paper. You got to go out and play. So it'll be interesting to see how the Bucks kind of respond to. So they've got a decent, like they've got, what, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 road games left out of these 10. So where the Hawks have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 home games. So like, well, as we know, being at home hasn't always been great to the Hawks. So, looking at the Pacers, their schedule is interesting. So they got Philly, Minnesota, at Memphis, at Toronto, at Cleveland, Toronto at home, Milwaukee at home, at Orlando, at Orlando, and then Atlanta at home. So there are some very generous games in there, like Philly, Minnesota, Orlando probably would be a decent game to have on your schedule. But at Memphis, at Toronto, at Cleveland, and then Toronto again, those are going to be some tough games, especially the Raptors. I think especially are two meetings against the Raptors isn't going to be ideal, but looking at that, I would say the Hawks definitely have the easiest schedule out of those three teams. So it is going to be interesting kind of how the three of them get on, because there's 10 games left, essentially. 72 games is how many games the Hawks have played. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be tight, that's for sure. I do think tiebreakers are a key, which means it's the Hawks' last regular season game in Indiana, where I believe the Pacers are leading 2-1 in that season series. I honestly have no idea. Let's check, shall we? No, indeed I am incorrect. This series is tied at one game apiece, so the season series is up for grabs on the last day of the regular season. So that sounds exciting, especially because it could matter. So, which always makes the last day of the regular season so exciting. But that's kind of the playoff picture for those three teams. It's going to be very interesting. But obviously the Hawks' run depends if Paul Millsap is A, back, or B, healthy. So those are two very important distinctions to make in that. But with that, let's get to some of the game talk. Two games since we last spoke on Tuesday. We'll start with Wednesday's loss against the Washington Wizards in Washington, 104-100 to the Wizards. Wizards wrap up the season series 3-1 in their favor. The Hawks' only win against the Wizards was opening night. All those years ago, but that doesn't make any sense. All those months ago. These two teams have come an awful long way since, that's for sure. I think Wizards started 2-8, Hawks 7-2. Could be even 9-2, I'm not too sure, but yeah. a long way around. Fifth straight loss for Atlanta here. No Millsap, no Bazemore. And the kind of big thing from this game was fourth quarter, the Wizards go on a bit of a run. It was this game was tied at 67 apiece heading into the fourth. And the Hawks actually led off a Chris Humphreys follow-through jam. Yeah. Off of the Mike Dunleavy miss. But so 76-72 with the Hawks' was favor there. 8:56 left. But the Wizards went on a 19-4 run in that time and kind of took this game away from the Hawks. A key part of that was turnovers. Hawks turned the ball over 5 times in the final quarter, all coming after that 8:56 mark. And the Wizards took advantage of that, definitely, as they did all night with the turnovers, to be fair. They scored 21 points off the Hawks' turnovers in total. But the Hawks, to their credit, they kept fighting. They got close, but not, the 12-point deficit in the fourth, too much to overcome in the end. And unfortunately, they sink to this loss. Dennis Schroeder, an interesting game, shall we say. 18 points on 5 of 16 shooting, 10 turnovers. He had some terrible turnovers. Obviously, some in the fourth quarter that didn't really help the Hawks' claws, including, even though they're down by 4, just right at the end, trying to get the pass. I think it was Ilyasova Dunleavy in the corner, and with seconds remaining, gets that double-double of 18 points and 10 turnovers, but not a great effort there. He said these kind of things happen, and yeah, they do, but I don't know, 10 turnovers is pretty naff, you might say. The bench also continued to struggle. Even though the Wizards only outscored the Hawks, the Wizards bench only outscored the Hawks' bench 27-24. Plus minus tells a different story in that the Hawks' bench plus minus of minus 50, while the Wizards bench was plus 61. Jan Mahimi for the Wizards, really good game. Defensively, excellent at the rim. Just added a nice little presence there. Kind of shooter goes in, like, you know, just reinforces the paint. Kind of kept Martin Cortat out of the fourth quarter for a little bit as the Wizards kind of found that run and kind of found things that worked. Mahimi was a big part of that. He was actually a plus minus plus 22. So it kind of gives you an indication how key he was there. Although part of the Hawks' bench, you know, did include Mike Dunleavy. Mike Dunleavy making his first appearance in 12 games after that ankle injury. Ankle ankle injury, we'll go with. He scored 9 points on 3-7 shooting. Looked alright. Hit some shots here and there. Did make 2 of 3 from behind the arc, though, which was nice. But just getting him back acclimated into the offense is helpful. Just with how short-bodied the Hawks are at the moment, with, you know, obviously the bench, you know, having to put in Tim Hardaway Jr. and Ersan Ilyasova into the starting lineup to kind of, obviously, to replace Millsap and Bayes while they're injured. So getting Dunleavy back in there helps the bench somewhat, you know, gets somewhat of a score back in there. Someone can hit a few shots in the end, which not many people did. Delaney, 1 of 5, 2 points. Mike Muscala was scoreless in 0-3 shooting. And Chris Humphries had 6 points on 2-4 shooting. So, yeah, not again, plus minus told the real story of this bench here. Again, Wizards bench just... Well, actually, for that matter, the entire Hawks' starting unit, starting five, all had positive plus minus ratings. Whereas only Bradley Beal, he was the only Washington starter that had a positive plus minus rating. Everyone else was negative. But the bench, of course, kind of helped make that difference up. So Beal had a decent game here, hit some big shots. He was good. John Wall, the Hawks, did a good job kind of holding him in the first half. 0-for-8 for John Wall in the first half, but he kind of got going in the second half there. 12 points in the third quarter, followed by another 10 in the fourth there. Just kind of, yeah, like he was missing some decent shots. It was just a matter of those shots just kind of falling. You know, Wall's not the greatest jump shooter in the world, but he kind of obviously hit them. And I think he got a three-pointer to go down, and then after that, kind of found his way. But disappointing in the end for the Hawks in that standpoint that they couldn't finish through that job as such of kind of limiting Wall. Ended up with 22 points there, as we mentioned. Other than that, there wasn't a whole lot other else interesting in this game, really. Apart from obviously Schroeder's 10 turnovers, Tim Hardaway Jr. had a good game, 29 points, 9 of 16 shooting. Did only hit 3 of 8 from behind the arc, but did get to the free throw line 9 times, hitting 8 of those. So that was nice. Other little tidbits, Mike Dunleavy got to 11,000 points. Woo. I hope you enjoyed that. So, oh yeah, just good to see Dunleavy back on the floor. Reggie Miller. Reggie Miller. Haha. Very funny. Seth Alosha had a very Reggie Miller kind of play. He scores the layup, immediately steals the inbounds pass, goes to the three-point line, hits the three. So a nice little spurt there for Seth Alosha, which, well, ultimately didn't help the Hawks win this game. But, you know, this was a decent performance, even though the Wizards are kind of on an off night, and before this game they've had a few issues. Just to have a close game like this, and, you know, the Hawks... Obviously, I don't think can hang with the Wizards in the playoff series, but they just can be encouraged that they played a really good. The Hawks played a good game here, and they fought. They fought back. They competed. All these things that Bud would like them to do. They just had a good game here. Just unfortunately, they didn't have enough to kind of get them over the hump on this occasion. Switching focus to Friday's match against the Bucks. Bucks win this one 197. Tough loss here for the Hawks. Again, they played a good game, even though they got down by 13. They got down by 13. They kept fighting, kept at it. Very good second quarter for the Hawks defensively, outscoring the Bucks 22-16. Got them back in this game. Took a little bit of a, eventually took a very slender lead in the third quarter there. and just couldn't make the key plays happen down the stretch. And Dennis Schroeder got called for a charge. Greg Monroe got a kind of an easy basket, kind of created by kind of the pick and roll from Brogdon and Monroe. I think Dwight may have been, you know, felt that he had to come over and help Schroeder, who was kind of stumbling a little bit, kind of slipped, but you think he was still in position, Schroeder, but having hit a floater just a few minutes ago, Brogdon, and maybe he thought after game, post-game Brogdon did, that, you know, because he hit that floater, kind of messes with Dwight's head a little bit, so, because, you know, showing that he could make that shot, and, you know, oh, God, get over there in case he gets that floater so I can block it. Dwight slides over, Brogdon finds Greg Monroe, and Monroe takes a 98-96 lead, and kind of from that, Hawks couldn't really get a play, they couldn't make a basket. They went to Dwight, kind of off the pick and roll. Schroeder finds Dwight inside. Books with a smart decision, just to foul Dwight, put him on the line. If he ties the game and makes both, you know, we've got 10 seconds left to make the last shot. And if he makes one for two, great, they have to foul us. And that's what happened. Dwight went one for two from the line. Hawks were forced to foul. Chris Middleton, who the Hawks did an excellent job defensively on. Middleton, only 6 points on 1 of 13 shooting from the field. But he hit two big free throws to put the Bucks up by four. Bucks up by three. Hawks need a three-pointer to tie the game, to take it to overtime. Eventually ends up with Ersan Ilyasova taking the three-pointer, which kind of with Tony Snell kind of right there. It misses, and then Giannis gets the rebound, and that's game over. Dunleavy was kind of right there as well. Maybe if, I don't know if Ersan saw Mike Dunleavy, but it was a missed opportunity, because Dunleavy, you know, Dwight Howard got him the space that he needed, Dunleavy, to have a very decent open 3-point shot, but I don't think Ersan saw him, and if he had, maybe this could have been a different story, but it wasn't to be, and the Hawks lose this one for their 6th straight game. You gotta give a lot of credit to the Milwaukee Bucks, because they played some of the basketball they were playing in the first half, both defensively and on the offensive end, it's absolutely terrific. Like, they're just the better team of these two. Like, they really are. I would love to see Milwaukee as the 5 seed if they, you know, if they could beat the Raptors, give us that Cleveland Milwaukee playoff series, that, you know, because those two teams have played excellent games. As the neutral, that would be the best outcome for the league. But obviously, if you're the Hawks, you obviously want the Hawks to make the 5th seed. And that's what this has to be about now. It's got to be 5th seed or bust, really, for the Hawks at this stage, because you could maybe fancy your chances against the Celtics, but definitely not against the Wizards. But you'd fancy the Raptors as well, both those teams, and you certainly don't want to be falling to 7 or 8, especially 8, because that would be disastrous. But tough one for the Hawks. Like, just that lack of bench help again, just 12 points from the bench, 5 from Prince, 5 from Humphreys, 2 from Dunleavy, Muscala, Delaney scoreless. Bucks bench scored 31 points, led by Monroe's 14 there. And no one outside of Dennis Schroeder, who scored 28, Tim Hardaway Jr., who scored 25, and Dwight Howard, who scored 20. No one else scored 10 points or more. No one else was in double-digit scoring. So it's unfortunate the Hawks didn't really have that. Just a little help. Just if Delaney makes a shot, Muscala makes a shot, you know, it could be a totally different game. But it just wasn't to be, unfortunately. Oh, yeah. Giannis Antetokounmpo kind of goes without saying. A very tough cover, but Hawks couldn't really deal with him, as he scored 34 points on 13-22 from the field. Giannis has given this team trouble all season long when these two teams have met, and they've met 4 times this year. So even with Paul Millsap, that's a very difficult cover for the Hawks. Just his combination of size, speed, and just length. He's just so long. He had a play, I think it was in the first half, where he somehow saved the ball from anyone else. If anyone else is in that situation, kind of at the sideline, just reaching for the ball, it's going out and it's going to be the opposition's ball. But because of Giannis's length, he just managed to save an unsavable ball and kept possession. Things like that, the Hawks just couldn't really deal with, and they haven't been able to deal with all season. Giannis has scored 27, he's averaged 27 points per game, 54% shooting from the field against the Hawks this season. So it's been a very, very tough matchup, but at least it's over because these two teams are meeting in the playoffs unless it was like a, gosh, like a five, the 5 seed beats the 4 seed and the 6 seed beats the 3 seed kind of situation, which they wouldn't even meet to the conference finals anyway. So that's irrelevant. But turnovers are also a big part of this game for the Hawks. The Hawks coughed the ball up 17 times, leading to 23 Milwaukee points. Who took care of the ball. They only had 8 turnovers, which only led to 10 Hawks points. So that was a big area of this game, as well as obviously kind of the lack of bench help once again. I know you can't really avoid it, but it's still a reality. So it's still to be talked about because, again, you're not asking a whole lot from a few guys to make a few shots. You know, it's like, are you asking someone to make, for Malcolm Delaney to make one shot or two shots? You're not asking much of Mike Muscala to make one or two shots. You're asking a little bit more of Chris Humphries to shoot better than 2 of 7 from the field. You know, these kind of things, you know, it's, you're not asking for a whole lot here. You're just asking just to keep a little bit, you know, just tread water essentially. But, you know, it's tough and that, you know, it's, but hey, you know, maybe Kent Bazemore might be back on Sunday. Maybe Paul Millsap could be back, although Bud is hopeful Bazemore's back soon. He's not too sure on Millsap, but we'll find out, I'm sure, in good time, which kind of brings us on to Atlanta's upcoming fixtures. Sunday, Brooklyn, matinee game, 1 p.m. Eastern Time start. Yes, I love early games. They're fantastic. So they got them. And then on Tuesday, although we'll probably be speaking before then, with the Hawks play the Suns at home, so the idea, I imagine there'll be a heavy emphasis on scouting Devin Booker, making sure he doesn't go off for another 50 or so. So that'll be fun. But hey, that's gonna do it this week in the Hawks. Keep the faith. It has been ugly to watch. It's been horrible. It really has been. But look, the end is almost here for the regular season, and whatever the Hawks will be. Hopefully that's the 5th seed because that's the best chance for them if they want to make a long run in the playoffs. But you know, watching this team, I don't think it's in them to make that long run. But look, we'll have to see. Again, it's easy to kind of be extra negative on the team when Paul Millsap isn't around, because everything's worse when Paul Millsap isn't around, as we kind of talked about on Tuesday's pod. But I'm rambling, I'm extending. That's going to do it for this week in the Hawks. Thank you very much for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, you know, maybe give it a retweet or something. That's always appreciated. And yeah, have a good weekend. Have fun.